Blog Talk Radio. Here we go. Radio.
Let's get it.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
Dr. Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah. I love it.
What's going on, America?
Happy Thanksgiving,
there. There you go.
Yeah,
yes,
and
sir.
The words of Ray Charles, you don't make it too many do tonight.
Yes, sir.
America!
Talking sports.
Talking sports with the 12th man on this Tuesday, November 21st. We are, again, a couple days before Thanksgiving. I want to give a shout-out to everyone that are showing some love, that are going to have some great, great fun. And I don't want to talk too much about that, but, you know, it's always a time to give thanks and what we're going to do. Let's talk about my co-host here and JQ, Robert. I would not bench you guys if you threw 4 interceptions. If you threw 5, I would bench you guys. That's a whole other conversation. But, again, let's check in with them. Let's check in with my guys. Mr. JQ,
man,
how you
most doing? Of them in the first quarter, didn't he?
Yeah, he was. He...
Something crazy like that.
He was struggling.
Man,
he was struggling, my man.
NFL Grant. Defensive Player of the Week, Nathan Peterman. He's an offensive player.
Yeah, Nathan That's Peterman was struggling. No, man. I'm good. I got a crazy, unexpected win from my Bengals, but then of course Tevin Coleman and Mohamed Sanu did it to me on Sunday night. So Monday night rather. So. Yeah, I'm going to get you, Dre.
That's okay, man. I really didn't even expect that. I'm sitting there like, oh, I'm getting like gifts, man, because I'm thinking, man, this game, whenever it first started, there was like a 60-something% chance that you're going to lose. I'm like, oh, well. And then I'm like, oh, Sanu, that's gravy. Well,
both of those guys helped me win a couple of matchups, too, so I'll take it.
Oh, man, that's crazy.
Nice. I was not pleased, but it's all good. It happens.
Okay. Yeah, that's life, man. Rob, how you doing this evening, sir?
Doing fantastic. Ready to make it do what it do.
All right, we got a lot of topics to talk about. So, yeah, let's jump right into this. Again, the number to call, 424-243-9519. No, because I'm kind of nervous about folks calling in. But it's been a couple of weeks, so we'll hope for the best here. Once again, 424-243-9519. That's the number to call in the show. Follow us on Twitter at the number 12, THMAN Sports, not to be confused with the Seattle 12th man, but our own 12th man. And then last but not least, Facebook.com/TalkingSports for the 12th man, or if you type in 12th man sports, you will find us in that arena as well. So we're going to kick it right off. Apparently, we're going to start off with NBA basketball, and which is pretty good because there's nothing really happening tonight. So, yeah, the Celtics are on a nice little run here. And I guess this kind of validate, Rob, the decision to leave Cleveland for Boston, if you will. So, Rob, what say you on this?
Well, I think it comes down to championships. I mean, I think that's going to be the bottom line here. Sure. Obviously, the Celtics have won 16 in a row, and Kyrie Irving is playing outstanding basketball right now. And that was went to overtime against Dallas and won that game last night. I think he had like 47 points. And I tell you, if you saw any of that game on last night, it looked like they were playing in Boston. I mean, it looked like the whole arena in Dallas with Boston Celtics fans. It was unbelievable. I know Dallas is off to a rough start this season, but it looked like the Boston fans were there in droves. But Kyrie Irving put on the show. They came from behind. But the bottom line, to validate the move to go to Boston for Kyrie Irving, it's going to come down to championships. And I don't necessarily think it has to be this season for them, but I think at some point, Drew and he here, in the next few years, you want to see them win a championship to really validate that move for him leaving a team that has gone to the finals 3 years in a row. to move on to Boston. So I would say over here in the next few years, he would have to win at least one championship to really validate that move in my book. But so far, I mean, they're off to an impressive start. So you got to give them credit. Even got a victory over Golden State here a few nights back. So that was pretty impressive to pull that off as well.
Terrible win. Hey, what say you, JQ? Does that validate?
Well, you know, just to your, just to your remarks, you know, the Boston fans, they go everywhere and they contaminate, you know, where they go. So they just who they are. You know, I'm a Lakers fan, so I don't love for the Boston Celtics and they fans. So there goes that. But you know what he's doing is laying the bricks in the foundation of validation. Is what he's doing so far. You can't say it this far into his first season without LeBron. Is he doing what he should be doing, especially with Hayward going down and getting them on that run with that young team? And like you said, 47 points on the road the other night. He's laying the foundation for his argument for validation, but I can't give it to him yet. But there's one thing I would disagree with Rod Long, and I don't know if it comes to championships, only because you got that specter of Golden State looming out west, and they ain't going nowhere. But if he gets the Celtics and they battle over the next couple of years, and it also depends on LeBron. Because, listen, he couldn't win with LeBron against that Golden State team. So, yeah, it's still going to be hard to beat them, even, you know, with him being the man and having a good team that's playing really well right now. But you don't even know how long LeBron's going to be in Cleveland. So, you know, it may not come down to, you know, having to keep toppling Cleveland and LeBron to get to Golden State and then walking that path. It may be they fight this year and, you know, Cleveland wins in seven, they lose again to Golden State or something like that, and then LeBron leaves. Then you're looking out east, and it's like, okay, now your mission is to be the class of it with LeBron now have moved on to Destination X. So it's that piece of it still a little jumbled, but I don't think he necessarily needs a championship because it's going to be hard to get a title right now with that Golden State team constructed the way they are.
Yeah. I'm gonna reserve judgment
on
this.
The future here is definitely the Boston Celtics. Are definitely the future. If not now, they are definitely the future of the Eastern Conference and the NBA. There's no question about that. And so it's just a matter of when. And but I think there's no doubt. I don't see any other team in the Eastern Conference here over the next 5 years. That's going to be a better legitimate contender in the Eastern Conference than the Boston Celtics. I mean, a lot can change with free agency and draft and things of that nature. Of course, injuries can also play a role in it. But, I mean, if you're looking at it on paper and, I mean, and you look at how young that basketball team is and looking at the fact that Gordon Hayward will be back next season, and you have to think that they are the future of the Eastern Conference, the Boston Celtics.
I'll hesitate to put that crown on them yet because of those things you mentioned towards the end of that argument. And free agency being the disease of me and the disease of Moore. If those young guys start feeling themselves like a Jaylen Brown or Tatum, they get quote unquote too big for their britches, and they start battling with Kyrie like, well, he did it early, but now it's going to be my team, or I need to leave, or Marcus Smart leaves because they can't afford him, or Hayward doesn't come all the way back like he was before because that leg injury was horrific, and just because Paul George did it doesn't mean it's going to happen for Gordon. So that's why I was like, I don't want to put too much on them and project it too far out, which that happens. They have a chance this year to dethrone Cleveland. I will give them that. They do. But I can't say for sure that's going to happen for them because, you know, young guys get the spotlight and they ball out and not everybody handles it the way they should handle it. And you get, you know, 3-4 guys wanting to be the man and you get in trouble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good points. I'm going to reserve judgment because this team is not complete. I'm talking about Cleveland because, again, the main piece was Isaiah Thomas. He has still not made it back to that squad. So, again, I'm reserving judgment about that, too, as far as, you know, what's going to happen. Now, again, it's going to take some time, chemistry, all that good stuff. That's a huge piece to see how Cleveland is going to definitely evolve. As you said, Rob, right now, I mean, definitely Boston's a man. I think it's interesting to see how Kyrie is. He's been one of the main closers on that Cleveland squad, which is crazy how without him. And you did say that, too, JQ, even though the squad, even though he was with LeBron, they still weren't able to beat Golden State. But – you know, we'll see how that plays out.
But they did once. No, you can't forget that.
I'm not talking crap.
Yeah, they did.
Saying,
they did
just,
once.
You know, even they got that. But again, it's just it's interesting.
In the first
to see
year,
evolve,
we had
so.
A great opportunity if they were healthy too with Kyrie and Kevin.
Yeah,
Love.
Broke his kneecap. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, well,
I mean
it's all,
that's
yeah,
true.
It's all about
I just don't want to project it out too far, but they're playing phenomenal basketball is the bottom line I think we can all agree on. And they look like the clear cut. They look like they should be the future. They look definitely look like the clear cut. They might be the – I mean, I'll go ahead and say it. They are the favorite in the East. I mean, I think LeBron and them, if they beat Boston the way Boston's playing, you don't ever envision him being in an underdog role unless they're playing against Golden State. But, I mean, from top to bottom, that Cleveland team is not as good as that Boston team from top to bottom. Mm-hmm. They just
they look
that's
old.
That's crazy to
think. Other than LeBron James, that team looks old in Cleveland, other than LeBron James. Now, they seem as though they've turned the corner a little bit. They've strung some wins together now, and I think they're like 10-7, so they've gotten over 500, and they've strung some wins together. So it seems as though they're turning the corner. But, man, LeBron James is playing a lot of minutes right now. And,
yes, sir.
And he's not a spring chicken anymore. So that's got to be a huge concern. There's got to be a huge concern for the Cleveland Cavaliers organization with the amount of minutes he's playing. So I know they still have some injuries, as Andre mentioned. Still got Isaiah Thomas. Derrick Rose has been out. But for the most part, I mean, they do overall look like an old basketball team, but it looks like they're starting to gel a little bit, turn a corner. I mean, they had like close to a 40-point victory on last night. So it looks like they are turning a corner a little bit.
Yeah.
But, yeah,
like
they definitely are.
Looks like the NBA wants to create the next squad, you know, to kind of get up there. So we'll see how that plays out as well. And then, you know, as far as you kind of look at Cleveland, you're thinking that whenever you play against older – whenever I used to play against my older players and the Jokers, they had old man strength. It was crazy. And they had their little crafty moves. And after a while, you know, we'd jump on them.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we'd out this stuff. Then they had that, you know, it gets down to like a grind down game. The Jokers were able to, like, you know, wear us down. But again, that's what probably Cleveland's way. Hey, we can get you whatever we see later on. But now, like you said,
that YMCA game.
Boston Celtics. Yeah. Boston Celtics, they got a young squad, them young legs, Tatum, Jaylen Brown's playing with confidence, you know, so they're going to try. And then Kyrie's kind of like, you know, calling the shots too. So interesting as well.
Yeah.
And as much as I can say, and this is good for JQ, that's as much Boston talk we can talk as far as the Celtics too. So, again, that's not great. let's talk about the OKC Thunder. I guess the question is, have they found the right role for Carmelo? And what say you about this, JQ?
You know what? I don't know, and I'll be honest. I followed them some. I know they've been struggling, but since we had that last conversation, I've seen where Paul George has gone nuts a couple of times. At the end of the day, it's going to take them a second to figure it out. When you throw those three guys together, and they used to be in the dude on their team and running everything through them, it's going to take a while to figure out. And if we're being honest, Carmelo is, you know, he still can get buckets, but he's much more. Not that he was ever really two- or three-dimensional, but he's strictly one-dimensional right now. And if his shot ain't falling, you got nothing. So, I mean, it's just what it is. So he might have to be like the microwave. But, you know, you're talking to somebody who's been a multiple all-star, you know, got his own signature shoe line. You ask him now to come off the bench and be, you know, Vinny Johnson, be the microwave for that team. How is that going to go over? I think that would be his best role, to lead the second unit and give them, you know, scoring power. But because you can get it from the front unit with Paul George and Russell Westbrook. You can get those points. But will he accept that? I don't know if he'll accept that.
Rob?
Well, that's a really good point about bringing Carmelo off the bench. I think that would be – I didn't really think about that, but I think that would be a good strategy for Oklahoma City to improve that second unit. And you can still have Carmelo, I think, when it's all said and done, still play starter minutes, and he can still be on the floor – with your main five for the end of the first half and then the end of the fourth quarter, yes. And, and when it all adds up, he can still play starter minutes but come off the bench and kind of ignite them a little bit. I think that would be a good strategy for OKC. I actually watched the game last night when they played the Pelicans, and it just seems like they didn't have a flow of getting him involved in the game. I mean, he's still averaging 20 points. He's still averaging 6 rebounds. But when you look at the overall team, they have a 7-9 record. And, I mean, you still can't leave him open on spot-up jump shots. I mean, he's still got that down.
Mm-hmm.
But he's mostly a one-dimensional play. He's never played defense his whole career. So, I mean, we know that already. but it just still seems like there's like it's not like a normal flow. I think when you have guys like Westbrook and George, both guys that can get to the basket, it seems like, you know, you can have that drive and kick game with Carmelo, and it don't seem like they have that down pack just yet. And with two guys like that that can really get to the rim, once you get double teams, you seems as though you should be able to have that drive and kick element with somebody like a Carmelo Anthony team. But I still think eventually they turn it around. Right now they're sitting at 7-9 and in ninth place in the Western Conference. I still think that they somehow, I don't know if they'll become a top five team in the West as I initially thought going into the season, but I still think that at some point you got to think that they can move up to a 6th or 7th spot and make it to the playoffs this season. So I think at some point they do figure it out.
Well,
so
you know, I think
Asian
they can still get top five.
They could. I was going to say really quickly, the agents for Carmelo hit up JQ at JQ at 12th Man Sports and Rob at Rob at 12th Man Sports talking about him coming off the bench, man, because I don't think he's going to be happy about that too. But go ahead, man.
We said this numerous times on the show. Carmelo is not going to win a championship being number one option, and it don't look good him being number two option on a team winning the championship. So, I mean, he's got to realize, I mean, he's 33 years old right now. I mean, he's got to realize right now he's definitely the third option on that team. And when you look at the overall game, Westbrook and George, you know, both of those guys play defense. And Carmelo
and they're better than him.
Carmelo has a decent follow-away jump shot. He posts up a little bit. But his strength is just a spot-up shooter right now.
And that's what I'm saying. That's why I agree with your point. And he's just not as good as they are. There was a point in time where he could make an argument where he was, but that time was about a decade or maybe 5 years ago, if you're being generous. But to your point, Rob, he's not the focal point of it. If you bring him off the bench, he would be the focal point of that bench unit, and he would get to be able to play in those stretch minutes where you're trying to, you know, just – bridge the gap between the starters and the other piece. You could have him be there, and you can get those points and keep the team afloat. You're going to take a hit defensively whenever you take George and Westbrook off the floor. But at least you can keep scoring and keep pace. And then, like you said, great points. End of the half, fourth quarter, he can still be in that mix if he's gotten warm. But he only would have gotten warm because he was the focal point of the bench unit. So, come on, Billy Donovan. And he's right also with the drive and kick game. Why are you not bringing Carmelo behind them cutting to the basket so when they cut, they can throw it to him in the corner or on the elbow and make him work? I mean, come on, Billy Donovan. It shouldn't be that hard for an NBA coach.
Yeah. Oh, man, look at this. We give coaching
totally
advice
agree.
Now.
I mean, you look at the example. I'm not saying Eric Gordon is as good as Carmelo, so I don't want nobody to get confused with that. But when you look at what the Rockets have done with him and kind of revived his career, bringing him off the bench, and the way he comes off the bench, shooting the lights out, scoring a basketball, I mean, that's a perfect example of a way that they could utilize Carmelo as well. And, I mean, the Rockets are actually sitting number one in the Western Conference right now. I don't think it's the last, but they'll definitely be a top three team when it's all said and done in the Western Conference. And the way they utilize Eric Gordon coming off the bench, he comes in the game lighting it up, and that's certainly a way that could be a good example of how they can utilize Carmelo as well.
That's
I was totally joking with you guys, but that's great, Rob. And I was going to tell you too, because it's interesting because you hope that Carmelo's ego will take a back seat, because again, as you saw, like New York, it couldn't happen. And if he knows what's best for the team, you know, if you're really looking forward to getting that ship, you know, championship, then you will say, hey, guys, you know, let me come off the bench and, you know, whatever I can do to make sure that I can help this team. So, again, you know, he's probably used to being a starter in his whole career, but now's the time. Like, all right.
You
really want to win, you know. So, yeah, go ahead.
Last piece, because I know we need to move on. But, you know, he was able to do that in Denver when he was younger because he was clearly the best player. He was able to do that in New York for a while because he was the best player. But then they got Porzingis, but Porzingis was still a rookie. And you saw that friction last year, but because he really couldn't do that anymore. In Oklahoma City, he's got to sit and look in the mirror and get for real with himself. He's not better than Westbrook or Paul George. So if you're a big three, you're Chris Bosh, and you got to live with that at some point at this year to make it work. You know what I mean? So the ball is in his court, you know. Carmelo.
Called him Chris Bosh. Dang! That's how you go down. And I was going to say too, Shay Q. You know, see, his ego is always going to challenge
you. I don't even think he's Chris Bosh.
But I was going to tell you, it's crazy because, you know, even whenever we talk about ego, even whenever Jeremy Lin was blowing up, he wasn't a fan of that at all, too. So that's what I think about Carmelo. Mm-hmm. So whole other conversation. That's like revisionist history, as they say. Hey, Rob, let's talk about some fantasy shout-outs, bro. I'm waiting for this.
Yeah, I bet
all
you
right.
are.
Oh, man. All right, let's get to it. I'll start off with the fantasy basketball, since we were just talking about basketball. Biggest winners of the week, co-host JQ, Ohio player, 7-1 victory
yes,
over Anthony Davis, new 23. Also, Will from Madison, Wisconsin, I'm so hardened, 7-1 over Madhouse on Madison. And then also Chester from New Orleans, Pass the Rock, with a 7-1 win over Naptown Unibrows. And Ronald from New Orleans, Saints Pelicans, 23, with a 7-1 victory over Andre's team, Triple Double. And
yeah,
Saints Pelicans, 23,
well,
is also
one after one day. Yeah, damn. That was bad. That
Saints
was
Pelicans,
bad.
23, is in first place with a 31-8-1 record. Let's get to fantasy football. League number one. Corey from Atlanta, Gentilly Hot Sausage. Man, I want one of those poor boys right now. 181.10 over to 107.76 over Smoking Aces. Yours truly, my team, Black and Gold, still in first place with a 9-2 record. Matthew from Indianapolis, Fleur de Lis with a 153.76 win over ATL. 153.76 to 65.60. over ATL Black Belt. And Will from El Paso, Texas, EP Diablos in first place with a 8-3 record. All right, league number three, Matthew from Indianapolis again, Unger's Crew with a 142.78 to 64.70 over Turn Up. And JQ's team, Ohio Players, still sitting in first place with a 9-2 record. And last but not least, league number – yeah. and last but not least, in league number four, my team, again, the Purple Knights, had the biggest win of the week with a 168.20 to 141.56 win over Baby Got Backfield. And my team, Purple Knights, 7-4 in first place. Those are the fantasy shout-outs for this week, and we're getting down to the crunch time right now.
Yeah, we are. Dre, give me my second loss.
Yeah.
Bastard.
I think we got a couple of more weeks, and then we'll be getting into the playoffs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Poor Marcia, she's like, I played Rob. I was like, yeah, it's all good. You know, you did your thing. I'm disappointed that I kind of lost my my lead in that that league. What am I, 8-3? Hold on, I'll still be. Hold on, am I in first for that though? For the league though, or no?
No, EP Diablo's in first place with 8-3. That's
second,
Will from El Paso.
Yeah. That's weird how I got the same record, but they put him in first. Okay, I see how it is. Okay, all right, I see how it is. I see how it is. Yahoo, trying to get me, suckers.
I know, man. I played against him in that league. That was the only fantasy loss I had this past weekend. I put up 157 points, and he put up 175. I'm like, damn.
Because he had Antonio Brown. He had Antonio Brown. Because whoever had Antonio Brown got me, too, like in both of leagues, man, because it was crazy. Because he had like 40-something points, something crazy like that. He went off.
Well,
he helped
me win a couple of leagues, too. Antonio Brown helped me win a couple of leagues, so I guess I can't complain with that.
Yeah,
exactly.
And then bad games for freaking Jared Goff. That would be the one time that he had his worst game. But that's okay. That's all right. We'll make it up. All right. Let's move on. And, Rob, I got to give you some props here. As much as we were talking crap and as much as I wanted the Saints to lose that game on the show, what a great way to come back. And it looks like a debacle from the Redskins' purpose, too, because the Zoom joke was like, here's the game. But the Saints are able to have some resolve, and they did their thing, man. So good comeback, good win from your Saints, Rob.
Yeah, I mean, it's no secret that Falcons fans don't root for the Saints, and Saints fans don't root for the Falcons, so I understand. No hard feelings.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
I'll be lying to you if I wasn't rooting for the Seahawks last night.
Yes, exactly. See? 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 I was like, dang it. So come on, Redskins, pull off. Dang it.
Yeah. But, you know, I can tell you, you know, watching that game on Sunday, it was looking bleak for the Saints for quite some time. I mean, the Redskins, they even put up 30 points on the Vikings the week before. And they were moving the ball on the Saints pretty good on Sunday and, you know, made it look like the Saints defense of old. And, but, I mean, they 5 minutes to go and they're up by 15. I mean, it's looking really bleak. But, I mean, I kept watching the games. You know, you never know what can happen with Drew Brees at quarterback. And I know we've talked about here in the last couple of weeks that they don't rely on Drew Brees as much anymore with the way the running game has been going and the way the team has been playing defense. But he came alive at the right time. He went for 11 for 11 in the last two series of the game. And they went down the field and get a touchdown, cut the lead to 8. And, you know, Washington had a chance to get a first down and run out the clock. And Manti Te'o and Von Bell had a huge stop on 3rd and 1.
Yep.
You know, and obviously Redskins had the they had to punt the ball back to the Saints and Drew Brees and the team drives the ball right down the field, get a touchdown. Alvin Kamara with a big juggling catch, and Kamara again with the 2-point conversion tied the game. It was crazy. I was watching the game in a sports bar in Austin. There was about 10 Saints fans in there, they're just screaming and yelling. And,
Kirk Cousins, Von Bell, intentional grounding. That was nuts.
Yeah, first Cousins. Yeah, yeah, that got him out of field goal range. That was big.
Yep.
And then the very next play, you know, Von Bell got a huge sack in the regulation, and then Washington, of course, got the ball first in overtime, and Saints were able to get him out on the 3 and outs. Cameron Jordan with a big sack, and Mark Ingram with a couple of big runs. I think he had like 50-some yards rushing in overtime to get him in field goal range on two runs. Yeah, but the Saints' offensive line has just been so dominant this year. I mean, Teron Armstead, Andrews Pete, Max Unger, Larry Warford, and the rookie Ryan Ramczyk. That group has been phenomenal, and you can really put them up there as one of the best offensive lines in the league this year with the way they've come together as a unit. But, yeah, that's a big one.
What did you think about
that? He didn't leave a whole lot left on that one. Drew Brees, Mark Ingram, Alvin Kamara, and real quiet like Kobe Fleener with a lot of big catches and runs in that game as well to aid that comeback. Those guys are, you know, outside of the defensive players, of course, that he just named. Those four guys took that game over, and it was just ridiculous to watch and see. I was watching it here when I got back. There's nothing to say. That, you know, to go 0-2 and then win, 8 in a row, all you can do is tip your cap to them. They are playing fantastic football right now. And that NFC South, man, that NFC South is no joke. So, I mean,
right
now,
that's
a big win by the Falcons.
Yeah, if we're going to the playoffs right now, the Saints, Panthers, and the Falcons will be in the playoffs.
I say that's a big win by the Falcons also to get it going, but also that's another tiebreaker to have over another potential wild card team in Seattle, because unless the Rams just go totally in the tank, I mean, you feel like they should win that division, right? So now that's a big win by the Falcons, because I don't see them catching the Saints. They are just playing out of control right now, and it is what it is.
The Rams could implode. I think they play Philly. They play a lot of tough squads in that second half of the schedule too. So I'll check the schedule too. But as mentioned, it's definitely going to be an interesting race. And as much as I hate to see the Saints get some confidence, we'll talk about that later. So whenever we meet up too. So I'm hoping to get a split. But again, you know, wishful thinking for sure, man. So we'll see how that plays out.
Well, I think as a Saints fan, I think the thing you got to be worried about right now is the defense is starting to get some injuries. Alex Okafor is having a resurgent season. You know, he's been another pass rusher for the Saints this season. And the Saints has been one of the top 3 or 4 teams in the league in sacks, and Okafor has been a big part of that. and now he's got a torn Achilles and out for the season. AJ mm-hmm. Klein has been out. Marshawn Lattimore went out in the first quarter of the game against the Redskins, so that actually hurt them with an ankle injury. So we don't know how serious that's going to be, whether or not he's going to be able to come back this week or not. He did come back for a play or two in the start of the second half, but really just couldn't go and left for the game, period. And then Kenny Vaccaro has been out for a couple of weeks too. So they have some injuries on the defensive side of the ball that they're going to need to start getting some of those guys back, because you can really start to see some of the effect of it in that Redskins game this past week.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But
yep.
they came up big when they had to down the stretch.
I'm kind of torn here because, you know, as much as, you know, I was looking at the schedule for the Rams, as you mentioned, JQ, and I don't know who to pick between the Saints and the Rams because, you know, I'd like the Rams lose because obviously it's going to help us, but then I don't want to see the Saints win. So I'm kind of torn on that one coming up. So we'll see how that plays out.
Mm-hmm.
They got Arizona, Philly, Seattle, Tennessee, and San Francisco. So they should get the San Francisco game. And, you know, Tennessee is kind of up in the air too. But, yeah, should be an interesting mm-hmm. schedule to say the least here. But, yeah, good call on that, Rob. But like I said, congrats to your Saints. They're doing their thing. You know, so yeah. It's all good, good confidence. But again, we'll see how that ride goes, man. So good to see a lot of balance. Great to see the balance within the Saints, man. You know, between running back, that's amazing right there. So yeah, good.
But congrats to your Falcons too. I tell you, the Falcons. I said this on the show last week. It's still a scary team to me. When you look at their offensive weapons and their opportunistic defense too. I mean, they have guys that can make plays on defense. And so they're still, in my book, a very scary team because they still have the personnel. And
get your boy Heath Evans, though.
We'll see. What the NFC is loaded, and not we just talked about the NFC South is definitely loaded, but the NFC as a whole this season is loaded. I mean, when you look at the AFC right now, actually, the number six seed in the AFC is 5-5 right now. And I mean, you still got New England and Pittsburgh at the top of the AFC, but the NFC has a lot of depth right now. It's loaded.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, good call. And then it's funny because definitely talking about the Falcons, I mean, we're still kind of like, there's some Seattle fans and, you know, we were up and – they were talking a lot of junk, and I couldn't say anything. Like, we come back and get you second half. I'm like, yeah, well, you know, you're probably right because I can't say crap, man, because the way that we had been playing, man. So we still almost gave it away too. So it's just one of those things, man. So we're scary, but I don't like this kid spreading. We don't have anything to hang our hat on as of now. But, again, good game. And it's amazing, gentlemen, to see how the teams have kind of gone through the little stretches because, you know, coming out you would have expected – you know, I know we predicted, you know, as far as Kansas City, they've kind of dropped, losing to the Giants. You know, same thing that we would have said about, you know, to see, I lost train of thought, but, you know, some squads that you thought were going to be doing really well, and they're kind of like going the opposite direction for sure. So, you know, and obviously Kansas City is a huge example of that too. So it just depends on what's happening with their role. In Oakland, I'm thinking of Oakland Raiders, same thing. And they've kind of gone down. And, you know, obviously reports that, Ken Norton's been fired, Ken Norton Jr. So just a lot of shaking happening right now too. So let's talk about the top 10 teams. We got about 11 minutes, guys. Let's talk about the top 10 teams in the NFL right now. You want to start this one off, JQ, as far as what you think as far as your top 10?
No, I'll let Rob go because I know he's got the whole sheet.
There it is, Rob.
Oh, man, he's got jokes. All right, well, still the Eagles.
No denial.
Still the Eagles for me. Yeah. It's still the Eagles for me at the top. I mean, when you look at what they're doing on both sides of the football, offensively, defensively, they got the weapons in the passing game. They have depth in the running game as well. I think Doug Peterson is doing a phenomenal job with play calling as well. And defensively, they're getting the job done, forced three INTs. The Cowboys still has a turnstile at left tackle like they had against Atlanta, so they were putting all kind of pressure on Byron Bell in that game too. But to me, I still have them at the number one spot. The Patriots, I still have them at the number two spot. And as you can see right now, they're just on the road. They're blowing people out on a weekly basis now. They're starting to get it together here. And the Steelers had a big convincing win on Thursday night. And I still have them in the three spot. As you can see, if they get Roethlisberger, Le'Veon Bell, and Antonio Brown, oh, my goodness, man, the game he had up tonight was just phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
And they're getting it done defensively, too. I know this was probably one of their more impressive wins of the season, and because we talked about this on last week, they seem to play up or down to the competition. So this was probably one of their more convincing wins of the season. I still have them at number three. I have the Vikings at four. When you look at what the Vikings are doing defensively, I know other than the Redskins game, the Redskins still put up like 30 points against them, but they still beat the Redskins. But, man, they held the Rams offense. The Rams went down the field, scored 7 points on the first drive, didn't score again the rest of the game. So they put a lot of pressure on Jared Goff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Vikings have Pro Bowls on every level of that defense. Defensive line, linebackers, got Harrison Smith in the secondary. So they're Pro Bowls on every level of their defense. And now they're getting it done offensively. I told you, Case Keenum thinks he's in Houston with that run-and-shoot offense now. This is the best we've seen him in the NFL. Yeah. And he's got receivers, Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs. They're getting the job done. Latavius Murray. Looked like he's having a rejuvenation all of a sudden as well. And so they're getting it done on both sides of the football right now. So you have to be impressed with what the Vikings are doing. So I have them at number four. We just talked about the Saints. I have them at the number five spot. Number six, I have the Jaguars there.
Jaguars,
defensively, they're
wow.
They're winning ugly. But they're finally getting these guys on the defensive side of the ball. All these first-round picks is finally starting to come together. So they're getting it done. Doug Marrone is a guy that I've always thought could be a really good head coach in the National Football League. He's really putting the team together. Offensive line is a lot better than it was last year. Blake Bortles still not putting up great numbers, but they're still getting it done. You know, mainly with the running game, offensive line, and defense. number seven, the Rams. I have the Rams, number seven. Obviously, they had probably the lowest output of the season, only scored 7 points. Going into this past week, they were leading the league in scoring. I haven't found out if they're still near the top, but if so, I'm sure they didn't drop too far. And we still expect them for the rest of this, even though Robert Woods is going to be out for a few weeks. You still got to think offensively they're going to be a threat. And that defensive line of theirs is still nasty as well. The Panthers, another team we talked about last week. You got to watch them. I mean, the talent is there as well. They're going to be getting Greg Olsen back really soon. And I had them at the number eight spot. I struggle with this one, but the Chiefs have really they've lost four out of five here. I still have them at the number nine position. I just still feel like at some point – they have no choice but to turn around, and plus they're playing in a weak division, so I think they will beat up on their divisional opponents here down the stretch. And number 10, I move Atlanta up into the top 10. As I just mentioned, they're still a scary team when you look at their personnel, and offensively they're still going to be a threat, and they're opportunistic on the defensive side of the ball as well.
Yep. Good, Jake.
Yeah, I mean – yeah, no, that's a pretty good top 10, and I would have all those teams in my top 10. The only thing I would switch with is at the back end. I would keep the Chiefs at 10 for now, and I would put Atlanta at 9 because I feel like Atlanta is trending up where Kansas City is trending down. They're at the back end of that top 10, but I will put them there. I still think Carolina is there. They have that ability with that offense to simplify that offense and not ask Cam to do too much. But if they can do that, they're going to run the ball and they're going to shorten the game. They're going to still play stout defense. And that's still a really good recipe for winning in any level of football. If you can run the ball and you can stop the run in the pass, you got more chances to win than most teams. But, the top part of it, I can't cover it. You get in that middle and you're really just splitting hairs right now. I may split the Rams and Carolina only because the Rams got housed. and they lost Woods. And, you know, it's crazy. In 2017, we're talking about they lost Robert Woods. Oh, my God. But Robert Woods has been playing really, really, really well for them. And that's not a loss that you can just kind of sweep under the rug. That's a big loss for that offense for Goff. He was, you know, when Coop and Watkins get that coverage, you know, Woods was getting open and he was flashing and he was making big plays. So somebody has to step in there. You know, I don't know if it's Tavon Austin or what. But I may flip Carolina in the rounds, but the other pieces of those I would go with. I think, you know, that's really your top 10 right now. And, I mean, maybe Detroit knocking on the door at 11, but they're struggling with the Green Bays and the Clevelands and the Chicagos of the world. It's like I can't put them up there, but they're close. So, really, that top 11 I think is pretty solid. You can split hairs 5 through 8.
Yeah, good call. I agree. And it's tough, too. And that's why it's more impressive, too, not to cut you off, Rob, but I'll let you finish your thoughts, to look at Minnesota, too, guys, because Minnesota, they were down to their technically third-string quarterback. You had, obviously, at Sam Bradford, he went down, you know, because Teddy Bridgewater went down. And then you got Case Keenum, and then you lost Adam Cook. And, you know, and they're still rolling because that defense has been able to play really well, too. So a lot of love to Mike Zimmer. Shout out to him doing his thing. And I hope that's not a shot for you, JQ, because I don't even know if you even wanted Mike Zimmer as your coach. You know, but just one of those crazy things as well, man. So, yeah.
No. I did. Real quick, Rob, before you jump in there, I did. You know how I knew Mike Zimmer outside of his pedigree? When he lost his wife, he was the defensive coordinator in Cincinnati, and his wife, I think, died of cancer. And the way the whole team, not just the defense, made sure that he got the game ball, and that scene in that locker room after that, you can ask my wife, I was like, he needs to be the head coach. Because Marvin's not getting it done. It's the same conversation we've been having about him for I don't know how many years now. But when I saw the way they rallied around Mike Zimmer, you know, and it was heartfelt. I mean, just, you know, everybody grown men in there sweating and crying. I was like, that dude right there has that locker room behind him. He was the one I wanted. It was him and then Hugh, and then you might have talked me into Gruden, but, you know, I wasn't going to go to war for him. But I wanted Mike Zimmer. Mike Zimmer's a good coach.
Wow, man. And it shows right there, too. But go ahead, Rob.
He's proving it.
That little thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I don't really have anything else to add on this particular topic. I think we covered it pretty well.
All right. We got 3 minutes here. We got a minute to get ready to get set for the OT portion here. So for that, really quickly, we got a minute to talk about the Legion of Boom as far as the last of it. And Seattle had a lot of injuries. That team is still well coached. That's another reason why. It's just you never know. But right now, but still, I mean, they still play the thing. But again, it does seem like, gentlemen, they are kind of on the backswing because, again, I don't know what Richard Sherman we're going to get after he comes back from that injury. Earl Thomas, he's always been known as that incredible guy, but, you know, he's had an injury as well. And then, you know, Cam Chancellor out for the season with his neck. And these guys, you know, Father Time, as you say, JQ, was always undefeated. So, you know, that team is always built. It's always weird to have a team that's built from the outside going that way because normally you have a strong front seven, and then you're more talking about your secondary. Not to say that Seattle doesn't have a strong front seven because they do, but it's interesting because you hear more about that. So, again, I want to say that thought because we're right to the OT, so go ahead and set us up for that, Rob, and then, JQ, finish your thoughts, and we'll talk about that. So go ahead.
Okay.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you definitely want to tune into our OT portion on tomorrow. Unfortunately, we can't give you our OT portion of the show live. As you just heard, we just gave you a little tease. We're going to talk about the Seattle Seahawks and the Legion of Boom. So definitely click on the same link on tomorrow to hear our conversation regarding that. And some more NFL predictions. We still got some college football to get to and a little bit of college basketball we're going to get to into the OT portion. So you don't want to miss it. Make sure you click on the same link on tomorrow. Next week, we're going to be back on our normal night, which will be Wednesday night. We gave you all a break. You know, everybody wants to concentrate on cooking tomorrow night, you know, getting that turkey ready, getting that ham ready, getting that sweet potato pie ready, getting that oyster
and mac and cheese
together. Down in Louisiana, getting that gumbo together. So we're going to give you all a break tomorrow night. So we'll join you back on next Wednesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific time. You don't want to miss it. I tell you, it's a great time of year for sports, and you don't want to miss any of our shows here anytime soon. Good night, people.
Hey, man, he's going to have to tell us about that in the OT, about the oyster dressing, because the first four things he went down, I was with him on. But then when he said oyster dressing, I was like, that's definitely some New Orleans stuff right there, because that's not where I would have went.
Yeah.
I would have went mac and cheese. But I appreciate everybody for listening to the show. And we're not going to talk about no college basketball, because we're not talking about no college basketball right now. It's too late.
No,
nobody cares
no.
about it right now, except for Rob. But everything else we're going to talk about. And we'll definitely tell you about this oyster dressing, because I got to know.
I'm a junkie.
Y'all be safe out there.
Rob, what the heck is oyster dressing, bro? I'm going to have to side with JQ on this, bro. That's not what I thought about, man. I'm like, mac and cheese,
right?
Oyster dressing, no.
Oyster dressing is the bomb, man. It's real popular in New Orleans. So obviously, oysters. You get fresh oysters anywhere around New Orleans, and it's just baked oysters in a normal dressing. I tell you, man, it's amazing. You got to have it.
Now, yeah, he said that before mac and cheese.
Yeah, nice. Oyster dressing is the bomb, man. Now let's keep in mind, Andre came to New Orleans with me a few times back in the day, and Andre says, oh, man, I don't need oysters, man. I don't need oysters. That's what he told me.
Not
so
raw.
I took him to this place.
Raw oysters. Not raw.
No. I'm not a big fan of raw oysters either. So I mean, I'll eat them raw, but that's not my favorite way of eating them. So Andre was like, man, I don't eat oysters. So I took him to this place on Bourbon Street called Redfish Grill and took Andre to try some barbecue oysters. And tell him about the barbecue oysters, Andre.
Yeah, it was the barbecue oysters were fantastic because they were cooked. I'm not eating the raw oysters. I'll give you that one.
Yeah,
100% accurate. But again, whenever I'm thinking
then, every time he came in New Orleans after that, JQ, he wants, let's go get some barbecue oysters.
That was good stuff. That was some good stuff. I ain't gonna lie. Freaking, we had some alligator. I don't know what the hell we had. It was good. they invent stuff to eat. Like what is this?
Hey,
mothers, man, it was good stuff. Yeah.
Hey man, if it's women that go from Mexico, they're gonna eat it. Believe that. In the Gulf of Mexico, it's gonna get eight.
They're gonna try. Raccoon,
yes,
whatever we get.
Man, I don't need oysters, man. But ever since that time, let's go get them barbecue oysters.
But that's the weird thing. Like
raccoon,
I said, the first thought you think about their oysters on the half shell, because that's what everyone eats. And so you know they put like the little, you know they have the hot sauce and they put like the freaking.
The crackers.
Yeah, aphrodisiac, whatever they call it, the crackers, some of that. So, again, I'm not a huge fan of that because the texture is kind of more slimy. So, that's just not me. But, again, if you cook them, you know, I'm all for that, man. You know, cook anything. I'll try it, except for raccoon. Whole other conversation. But
yeah, I was going to say, but yeah. You're a fool.
And I love it. Yeah, we're not going to talk any basketball, Rob. I'm just going to say because we got to get to some college football predictions. And we really got to dodge a lot of topics here. So we got to talk about NFL here. So really quickly, guys, can you talk about the Legion of Boom? Go ahead. Give me your thoughts. JQ and Rob, stay tuned as well. Then we'll talk about some NFL predictions. So go ahead, JQ.
So is boom the word? Because I feel like we're in the past tense. Like you said, leading into it, it's the Legion of Boom. It's pretty much done. What you're seeing now in Seattle, and it worked the way it worked, and it worked successfully. I mean, they still got a title. I mean, could they have gotten another one? Yeah, maybe. Probably should have. They hadn't thrown it on the three, but they still got one. So that's but I mean, that's true, but they still got a title. I ain't got no title, so I mean, they got one more than my sorry Bengals got, but that's neither here nor there. The point of it is that team is now going to be around Russell Wilson and those wide receivers and Jimmy Graham, and what you're going to see them do, and it's going to be really nasty and not popular, they're going to have to draft along that offensive line. They're going to try to keep that defensive line and those linebackers. But that corner, that secondary that you knew and loved, I think is done. Sherman in his 30s with an Achilles, not looking good coming back playing cornerback position. Cam Chester with a neck. What does he do? He likes to play in the box and hit people. And with a neck injury, that could potentially knock him out of the league. Earl Thomas has already contemplated retirement after one injury, and he had another hamstring injury this year he just came back from where he stayed around. They're going to have to make some unpopular decisions in terms of cutting people and or trading them if they can get anything for them. You're going to start to see over this next year or two that Legion of the Boom get dismantled and get younger and focus more on the offensive side of the ball and do it from a more conventional, traditional way, but not being led by, you know, like a 2000 Ravens defense. That's not going to keep happening in Seattle. I think it's done.
Great call, JQ. Go ahead, Rob. Perfect call. Love it.
Well, yeah, I couldn't have said that better myself. And the Legion of Boom, as we know it, is no longer. I mean, that's just, I mean, JQ covered it very well. Richard Sherman up in age, torn Achilles. And come on, a neck injury, Cam Chancellor. I mean, those guys are on the back end of their career. So when you look at it from that standpoint, those two guys along. The rookie cornerback, you know, got hurt in the first quarter of the game last night. He's been impressive as a third-round draft pick. I can't remember his name. But he's been impressive. He's been impressive this year, starting as a rookie. And obviously losing him last night was a big blow. Will Seattle still be competitive here the next few years? Absolutely, because Russell Westbrook is still young. He's still in his prime. And as JQ mentioned, they have depth at the wide receiver position. They're finally utilizing Jimmy Graham. This is probably the best season he's had. I think he's got 7 or 8 touchdowns since week 5 of this season. So they're finally utilizing him in a way they can use him, but they have to improve their offensive line. And I think when you look at the weaknesses on their team right now, they don't have the depth in the secondary that they used to having, and they don't have the pieces on the offensive line. But to me, if they fix those pieces, I think you're still looking at a team that really can be contending here in the next few years. I don't see them continuing for a championship this season because they just, you know, they're pretty much one-dimensional offensively because of the offensive line. And Russell Wilson has the ability to buy time with his feet, and so that kind of helps them a little bit from there. But when you look at that game on last night, they still had opportunities to win it. And it was funny because I think we did predictions last week. I know both of you all picked Atlanta. I picked Seattle. If I'm not mistaken, I picked them to win 34-31.
Yeah, I think
so it was the kind of game I thought, and so the score was just a little bit opposite, and it's actually the kind of game I envisioned happen. I thought they would do just enough offensively to hold off and make up for that that secondary piece on last week. But are they still going to be competitive? I mean, I think they still have enough that they'll be in a lot of football games. I just don't think they'll be championship material.
Yeah, and then one last piece of that I meant to add to that, Dre. The problem is they paid so much money into that secondary. That's why I said they're going to have to make some unpopular and hard decisions to revamp it and get younger. You can draft, but you're going to have to pay a lot of times, like, or get lucky and hit on a third, fourth, fifth round offensive lineman, or go get a really good one in free agency. Where does that money come from? How do you re-sign Dwayne Brown, you know, coming after next year? How do you get somebody else to come there like, oh, they've got this if I go there, but, you know, I'm a Tier 1 offensive lineman. They got to find a way to pay those guys, and that money right now currently resides in the old Legion of Boom. That's why I said they're going to have to make some hard, tough, either you take a pay cut to stay or we got to let you go decisions, and they're coming. They're coming here shortly, either this offseason probably or the offseason after this one.
Yep, and great call, too.
But the good thing is, you know, Pete Carroll and that organization has got a great history of drafting secondary players. I mean, they're maybe not as great on picking offensive linemen, but they've had a great history of picking guys in the secondary. And they found guys from the third round to undrafted guys to come in and be able to make plays for them on the secondary. So when you look at it for being a Seahawk fan, you got to have a little confidence on them from, you know, getting that secondary back in shape here in the next couple of years.
Mm-hmm. But I like what you said about that too, JQ, because you got to think about it, and both you got to talk about the transition. And I think because of what's happening, they're probably going to allot all that money to Russell Wilson now. So I think what's going to happen is they're going to literally look at the draft guys, go hard, get that defensive back like we talked about. Because, again, I think this is it, man. This is kind of the year, and then it's going to be this is your team, Russell. So and he can definitely do that, man. So they shore up that offensive line, get some running backs, and they'll be right back too. So, again, good calls on that. But, again, great call. That's a great topic too. I think we have officially seen, you know, the last of the Legion of Boom guys. So, yeah, 100% agreeing with that. Mm-hmm. All right. We got a lot to talk about here. Man, let's talk about some things here. Let's get to
rapid fire.
The predictions. Yeah, rapid fire here. Vikings at Lions. What say you on this, Rob?
I tell you what, I mean, as we talked about here, I think the Vikings are clearly the better football team here. But I'm always a little leery of picking a road team on Thursday game. And it's a short week. You saw what happened to Tennessee on last week going on the road on a short week. I mean, they went to Pittsburgh and got flat-out spanked. I won't be surprised if we have an upset here, but I'm going to say that I just think the Vikings are – I think it's going to be a really close game. I don't think you're going to see the beat down like the Vikings gave the Rams. But I think the Lions is in this game, Thanksgiving at home. And I'm looking at a 24-21. I'm going to give the Vikings a chance. I'm going to give the Vikings a win on the road here just because I think they're just so much better than the Lions. But I still would not be surprised if we have an upset here.
Okay. Tricky.
Detroit has struggled with Chicago and Cleveland in back-to-back weeks. I'm going to go with Minnesota on the road, 30-20.
Oh, look at JQ, confident with it. All right, here. Chargers at Cowboys. And I got to say really quickly, I'm starting to feel for Philip Rivers, man, because they talk about talented quarterback. They haven't been able to put it together for him, man. It's been kind of sad. They fired the coordinator, if I'm not mistaken, the defensive coordinator or something like that. But, again, I could be off on that. But Chargers at Cowboys, what say you on this, JQ?
I think this is where the Chargers are the worst team in the league. Yeah, listen, they're gonna find a way because that Kennedy offensive line still isn't necessarily great. I think, you know, Dexter Lawrence and those guys find a way, and I think they get Tyron back this week. I think he was close if you saw him working out pregame before this last game before Philadelphia. He's close. He's the difference, and don't put the dirt on the grave quite yet on the Cowgirls. I think they find a way at home on Thanksgiving to win the game.
Oh, so he's calling the Cowgirls now.
I was just trying to get you going.
I like it. But I agree. I think the Cowboys win this game. I think they obviously two very bad losses in the last couple of weeks. But I think, obviously, the Chargers will be a team that can heal their wounds a little bit here. And I think Dallas bounce back, and they win this game by 10 points at home.
Let's just be real. The Chargers, they're dealing with heartbreak. That's why they're playing so bad. They don't feel like they have a home. So that's why they're playing really bad because, you know, San Diego just kind of like it's calling them. So that's what I'm going to say about the Chargers, man. They're in their feelings right now. So that's what I'm going to say about the Chargers.
They
so,
put up,
you know.
They crushed Buffalo,
though. On Bills.
I was going to say crushed Buffalo, though.
Yeah, they put up 54 on the Bills.
Well, when the quarterback throws five first half interceptions, then, you know, that's not going to happen in Dallas.
The week.
That's not happening in Jerry World. That's not happening in Jerry World. Dak is not going to do
that.
That's what I'm saying.
We're going to talk about that, too, the Bills, man. That's insane, man. That was so bad. All right, let's talk about the Saints and the Falcons. Saints and the Rams. I'm moving forward. Man, this is a good game. Shootout, I predicted that, but this is going to be a really interesting game. So go ahead, Rob. What are your predictions on this?
Well, I think it's going to be kind of similar to the game we saw with the Saints and the Redskins this past week. I think it's definitely going to be a shootout. And I think when you look at it here, still don't know about the Saints and some of these defensive injuries. And obviously, you know, it may offset a little bit with the Rams not having Robert Woods as well. But as much as I want the Saints to win, I'm going to pick the Rams at home to win this game. And I'm going to – the same score that the Saints won by, that's what I'm going to predict the Rams to win, 34-31. I think it's going to be a shootout in Los Angeles. But obviously I'll be rooting like heck for the Saints to win the game.
Thank you.
Absolutely. I'm going to pick your Saints. I'm going to pick your Saints because of the aforementioned Robert Woods. I still think it's a shootout. But that security blanket of having Robert Woods not be there, I think, is going to take a week or two for him to adjust to and to them adjust to game-wise. It's going to be Tavon Austin or somebody else that we don't know that, you know, jumps up from somewhere and starts making plays. I agree. The defensive secondary woes for the Saints allow that to be a shootout in lieu of Robert Woods being there. But without him being there to make a clutch player, too, I see Drew Brees and Alvin Kamara and Michael Thomas making a play. Because, of course, I got to plug Ohio State at New Orleans to win by 31-27.
Well, if Marshawn Lattimore is healthy, I definitely think the Saints win this game. I think that's a big question mark right now.
But, I'm curious if the Saints get a huge helping of. Yeah, I'm curious if the Saints get a huge helping of Todd Gurley with what's happening with that defense. Because you know, again, we'll see. So that may be a little twist. All right, guys, we're talking about the aforementioned Cowgirls, if you will. And the question is Jason Garrett the blame for their struggles? And I'm going to jump on this first because I don't know necessarily Jason. Well, maybe he's the head guy because coaching has to do with, you know, the fact that you didn't provide any support for your guy that was getting eaten alive by, you know, by Adrian Claiborne. And then same thing, like they did a couple of chipping, but I don't know what's happening with that. And this is totally a different squad, guys. We thought that without Zeke they would struggle, but again, remember I told you how, you know, again, they would kind of set the box and make Dak Prescott beat him. And then unfortunately, you know, the best man's best friend of any quarterback is a running game, but then you're finding out it's an offensive line. So, again, right now things are not going good for Prescott, and I'm sure this is not what's been expected. So, I mean, I guess you could say he's partially to blame for that too, but I don't know if it goes to just not getting the players prepared to play and making those calls. So that's me. What say you on this, Rob?
And I don't think you can put the blame on Jason Garrett at all. Well, I'm not going to say not at all, but I don't think he's the blame. I mean, you talk about a team that went 13-3 last season when everything was in place. And obviously you have a little bit of adversity now with Zeke Elliott not being there at Toronto Armstead. You would think they would have a better backup left tackle. Oh, man, these guys, they've been putting their left tackle the last couple of weeks. They don't even look like the NFL material.
Yeah, you will play left tackle? Sure, coach. What does that entail?
Yeah. I'm like, man, yeah. Move the guy from right tackle over the left or something. Man, man, those guys didn't even look NFL worthy. NFL material.
Yeah, you know what?
So bad.
You're right, though. I mean, just to shorten this, he's right. I don't blame Jason Garrett. Totally. Jason Garrett has his play in it, and I'm not going to put Jerry Jones into it because it's not about Jerry Jones and Roger Goodell. This is about not having Ezekiel Elliott and not having Tyron Smith or whatever his last name is at left tackle. That's what this is about. And you're watching him lose a dynamic running back and his best offensive lineman. And those things happen when you lose those guys. If you don't, like Rob said, come on, man, you got to have somebody that from NFL Europe or something that can come in and play. like, what are you doing? Like, that's not on him. He's not in charge of the roster. If he was Bill Parcells, where he was the GM and the coach, then that would put more on him. But he's playing the hand that's been dealt. He's got to overrule Scott Linehan on offense and say, hey, you got a chip to help him. He's got to overrule, I forget the defensive coordinator's name right now, and say, you know, you got to adjust without having Sean Lee. Those things are on the coaches, but it's more of a, that was their identity. Rob, with the 13-3, you're absolutely right. That was their identity, was to run the ball, play action pass, open it up, or Dak make a play with his feet. When you don't have to respect that run that way because not having Zeke and your best left tackle, then you come back to the fold a little bit, and now you still just have a second-year quarterback, you know what I mean? And you don't have your anchor on defense in Sean Lee. So I'm not going to put it all on Jason Garrett. Yeah, it's just a combination of events right now for them that's getting them. It is. It's injury.
That line was so great. Yeah. You can put anyone behind that, though. That's what I'm saying. And he lost one player, and it imploded. Go ahead. Sorry.
I think the thing you got to realize, too, prior to Zeke Elliott and Tyron Smith going out here, the Cowboys were an ascending team just a few weeks ago prior to the Atlanta game. They were playing really well. Three or four really impressive wins in a row. Dak Prescott was playing extremely well. Zeke Elliott was playing extremely well. The offensive line was looking like the way they were playing here last season. And really, they were doing well. The defensive line was playing phenomenal as far as rushing the quarterback, hitting the quarterback. And so, I mean, they were really playing well. They were looking like an ascending team prior to Zeke Elliott going out and Tyron Smith, obviously. But, yeah, again, the left tackle situation, I mean, obviously you don't expect the backup to come in and be as good as Tyron Smith, who's been all pro virtually his whole career. But, man, I hate to harp on this, but those guys don't look NFL material. There's got to be a better left tackle on somebody's practice squad that they could assign off of somebody else's practice squad to come in there and at least hold down a fort. Instead of giving up six, maybe give up one sack.
Yeah. Or two sacks. On the construction side or something. You know, he's doing MMA, he's doing something. Yeah, no, I hear you. I'm with you.
I can't put the blame on Garrett. I mean, like I said, they were just an ascending team just a few weeks ago.
Fair enough. So who's got the more of the upswing? Is it Dak Prescott or is it Carson Wentz, JQ?
Ooh, man, that's a tough question. That's a good topic. I struggle with that one because I like them both. I think they both have a tremendous upside and a bright future. And both play in a rabid fan base. And I'm going to go with Wentz, and I'm only going to go with Wentz because I think his situation is more settled. And whenever you have Jerry Jones being the head coach and it being the Cowboys and all that other stuff that goes with it, I think it puts more of a spotlight on
pressure.
Dak Prescott and some of it he's going to get, yes, that he's not, you know, that he can be in control of. So I'm a slightly and not begrudgingly, because I don't dislike Carson Wentz. I just don't – if I got to put my something on somebody, I'm going to put it on Wentz because I feel like his franchise and his organization is more stable about what they're doing, who they are, and they don't have all the topsy-turvy that goes on. Now, this one is a Jerry Jones thing. And I think some of that permeates down through there, not necessarily the play on the field, but just how the organization conducts itself and the pressures and the expectations put on it. You have more expectations for the Cowboys. I think the Eagles, they have a good fan base, but the expectations, they're not America's team, so to speak. So he doesn't have that spotlight like being the starting quarterback for Dallas does. Now, the starting quarterback is hard regionally in Philadelphia, but having the starting quarterback for the Cowboys is national. And that's why when you have that in that kind of turmoil, I'm going to pick the guy that's playing about the same way, but he has a more stable, you know, background behind him.
That's crazy, Rob, that JQ brings about stability with Philadelphia whenever they went through the Chip Kelly years just a couple years ago. So that's crazy that you can say that, man. So
but now
that's
good.
Great how, I know. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Rob, your thoughts.
Well, yeah, for me, I have to go with Carson Wentz, too. And the reason why Dak Prescott, I mean, I'm not particularly a Cowboys fan, but, you know, I actually like Dak Prescott, Louisiana native. You know, I still hate the fact that Les Miles recruited the kid to come play fullback and not quarterback. And
never gonna
you know, I still haven't gotten over that yet. But yeah, I like the kid, but I think overall I would have to go with Wentz. And the reason why I would go with Wentz, to me, a lot of other things have to be going well for Dak to be successful. As we just talked about, he's got to have a strong running game. He's got to have an offensive line. Carson Wentz has the potential to do things on his own. I mean, obviously you want to have a running game, an offensive line, and really it's the quarterback's best friend. But Carson Wentz has got all pro. He's got, you know, potential of being a Hall of Fame. I know it's early in his career for you to be saying Hall of Fame and it's next to his name. But he has the potential. You look at some great quarterbacks. Aaron Rodgers, for example, not saying that Carson Wentz is going to be Aaron Rodgers. That's bad.
Okay. Easy.
But
easy.
Rob
yeah,
Ford
but,
said
but
that
you
Carson
look at,
is going to be Aaron Rodgers, folks.
I didn't say that. I didn't see that Kevin Love was a fourth option on this team.
Oh, here we go. There's J.R. Smith. Okay.
And J.R. Smith was the second option.
Go ahead.
Really good quarterbacks can overcome a lot of other things around them and still be great. And, you know, you look at a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers, he's been able to do that for most of his career. He hasn't really had a strong running game with him there in Green Bay. And when you look at, you know, Drew Brees' career, you know, for a good part of his career, he hasn't had a strong running game or defense to go along with him. And I think Carson Wentz, even though he's got a defense and he's got a running game right now, you know, I think he could still be a great quarterback without those elements around him. A team may not be as good, but he can still put up some big numbers and still, you know, be effective. When you look at Prescott, I think he has to have those other things in order for him to be successful. And you see the way he's played the last couple of weeks. I mean, 3 INTs this past week against the Eagles. And so for me, I would have to say you can put the game on Carson Wentz's shoulders over Dak Prescott, in my opinion.
Yep, I agree. I think Carson Wentz as well, too, guys, just because of the fact that he's, as the points that you guys have said. We're going to talk – the Eagles had a dominating performance. That was fantastic. We don't have to talk too much about that. I do want to talk about what's happening with the Bills and Tyrod Taylor. And it's tough, man, because, again, sometimes coaches – are figuring things out, and I think this is one of those figuring out things, but it's the worst time to do that. And as we talked about, he's been getting tortured, and Nate Peterman, and the fact is, I think it's just the timing of it, you know, not the best time because, again, the Bills are in the middle of the you know, right on the cusp of the playoffs, and you kind of throw them in there, and then I think you lost the team because, again, you're basically saying, you know, we're going to try this young rookie, and Chargers are like, oh, really? You're going to try a young rookie against us? And they just like, it just wasn't a good look whatsoever. So, again, I think for the Bills, they were trying to figure out what they had because, again, they have opportunity to make some draft picks here going into that, you know, if and they don't think that Tyra is the answer. So I could see where they're going with that. But, again, he does deserve a little better. That's my perspective on the whole situation too. So, you know, he's not turning over the ball. So, you know, maybe he's not the answer, but again, he shouldn't be treated like that. That's kind of me, my perspective. What say you on that, Rob?
Well, my thing of it is going into this game this past week against the Los Angeles Chargers, the Bills are 5-4 in the sixth spot mm-hmm. in the AFC still. I mean, you're right, still
right.
In the middle of the play. You look really bad the last couple of weeks against the Jets and the Saints. I understand that. And, I mean, of course, Tyrod Taylor didn't really look that great in either one of those games. But their defense was horrendous in those two games. The defense was porous. And and I know they gave up 54 points to the Chargers. And obviously those five INTs attributed to a lot of those points. But they're just not getting it done on the defensive side of the ball right now. And Tyrod Taylor, you don't bench your quarterback right in the middle. You're still in the playoff hunt. If you can just fix that leaky defense and figure out what that problem is, he will still be your best option for playing a ball control game, you know, running the football, taking care of the football, not turning over the football. And he will still be your best option if you fix that leaky defense. And we saw that this past week. You don't do that in the middle of a playoff. I mean, and even at 5-5 right now, they're still tied with the Ravens for the sixth spot in the AFC. I mean, they're still in the mix. I mean, you make these kind of decisions when you're 5-10 last week. You're out of the playoff run. Let's see what you got in your rookie. And to me, the timing of it was a very horrible situation for them to make that kind of a move. And we saw it backfired on them tremendously this past Sunday.
Oh.
I mean, obviously, I know Tyrod Taylor came in and some mop-up duty and he threw a touchdown and ran for a touchdown. I mean, it's obvious he still gives them the best chance to win, but they have to fix that defense. Right now, their defensive line is getting manhandled on a weekly basis.
Gotcha.
Listen, everything that y'all just said, I won't rehash, but that first half that Peterman put out there was the best thing that could have happened to Tyrod Taylor for the rest of this year because, and you touched on it, the AFC is top-heavy with the Patriots and the Steelers, but after that, it's a crapshoot about who can get in, especially into that wild card spot. So you're still sitting there. You were in the wild card spot. Not you were in the hunt. You were in. If the season ends today, you're in. You don't make that decision. But that first half is the best thing that could happen to them because you can still talk yourself into if you go to 6-6 or 7-7 and you keep kicking that can down the road and you're still hovering around that 6-7-5 line that, you know, you got to start Tyrod unless you are going to have a pure mutiny in the locker room. Like, what are you doing? We can still make the playoffs. Yeah. If you don't put Tyrod in the game and stop playing, man, I'm trying to win. What are you doing? That's the best thing that could have happened to him. That dude showed the world that he was not ready, and you go back and you go script some more plays and chart what happened on 3rd and 16 because you ain't playing. It's over.
I guarantee you this. If you went against the Chargers defensive fantasy, you lost.
they went nuts.
But who had the Chargers defense, though? Because not like you're like, I'm going to grab the Chargers defense, you know?
No, they're on the waiver wire with crazy money.
In three leagues prior to the game this past weekend.
Did you play? You played them?
You better believe it.
That's a good move. That's good foresight because, again, it's not like you're like, yo, I'm going to grab the Chargers defense. But, you know, good call. Hey, man, I need you to pick some lottery numbers for me. How about that? Good call. Good job. Let's kind of skip over the flaws because I want to get the show moving here because we're already like 15 minutes after here. So can we talk about the predictions for college football here, and then, you know, maybe we'll talk about some flaws here. But let's wrap this up too because we are kind of going here. We got to get to these because we got to talk about JQ squad and what's happening this weekend for rivalry weekend. Number 9, Ohio
yes,
State
sir.
At number 24, Michigan. What's going to happen, JQ?
Listen, you already know that it, I don't care if we 0-10 and they 10-0. I am never, ever on this show going to get on here and pick them on GP alone. But honestly, this is a game, and, you know, you're on the road against your rival. This is a game, if you want to have any chance, that you got to win. You got to win out. You can't have any complacency because you're already going to the Big Ten title game. So it is what it is. Michigan's going to be ready for us, for sure, as they always will be. Like, I would want Ohio State to be ready for them, even if we were on the middle end to down year. So they have the playmakers. They can go out as long as a good JT shows up and not bad JT. Ohio State wins.
Go ahead, Rob. I love it.
Yeah, I don't think Michigan has the personnel to beat Ohio State this season. Home or away, neutral site, it doesn't matter. I know Michigan's at home, but I don't think they have the personnel to beat Ohio State this season. And so I agree. I think Ohio State wins this game on the road by 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, I agree.
Oh,
all
that'd
right.
be awesome.
So, not to like steal JQ's thunder, man. So, yeah, we'll see how you – again, yeah, I love it. That's how you come out. I'm never going to pick this, no matter what. Woody Hayes, bringing it back. I love it.
Never.
Let's talk about number 1, Alabama, at number 6, Auburn. This is a very intriguing matchup because the way that Auburn pretty much handled Georgia – so I don't think it's as easy a game as we're thinking, but what do you think about this one, Rob?
I'm going to go I think this is going to be a real competitive game. I really do, but I just think Alabama in the end is just going to find a way to win the football game. And I'm going to say a 31-24 Alabama win on the road.
Yeah.
What about you?
Nick Saban versus Gus Malzahn. Nick Saban. Same score.
Yeah.
I can go with that. 28-24. I'm gonna go with Alabama until I see it happen, and I see Gus Malzahn beat Nick Saban. I'm gonna go Nick Saban.
I gotta tell you guys, Cam Newton's not walking in that building, man. So a whole other conversation. But yeah.
And that guy that ran that field goal all the way from the back of the end zone is not walking through that door either.
Joe Angle. Neither is Bo Jackson.
Yeah.
Oh man, we got jokes tonight. Bo Jackson's like, what? Man, all right, good call. Number 8, Notre Dame guys versus number 22, Stanford. This is a pretty good game too. Which Notre Dame team is going to show up, JQ?
Man, I mean, Notre Dame ran into a buzzsaw in Miami. That Miami crowd, I told him when he was texting, it's like a soccer crowd. They're out there chanting and just going nuts. That's a hard place to play. If they keep doing that, it's a smaller place, but if they pack it and get loud like that, it's a tough place to play. Bryce Love is fantastic for Stanford, don't get me wrong, but I feel like Notre Dame bounces back. And this is a game Notre Dame has to have because they don't have a title game to go to have another week to show their wares, so to speak, where Alabama will be playing, Ohio State will be playing, where you have another chance to show that we're the best team in the country. So this is their title game this week, basically. I think they come out that way, and they beat Stanford by 11.
Rob?
I'm going differently here. I'm going Stanford at home. I watched Notre Dame this past week really struggle in that game. And they weren't impressive this past week at all. And I think Stanford, with the physicality of their team, and Bryce Love running the football, them at home, Notre Dame traveling across country practically here. I like Stanford here 27-20.
Oh.
I think they win by a touchdown at home, beat Notre Dame. And it to me, and I could be wrong, I mean, with the Miami loss and the way Notre Dame, you would think they would have came back and played a lot better than they did after getting drubbed by Miami. And I wasn't impressed with them at all this past week. I like Stanford.
Nice. All right. Okay. All right. David Shaw sends his regards to you, Rob. He appreciates that. Number 14, Washington State at number 18.
He's got to do it on the field.
Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. What about this one? Is Rob? What about this one, Rob? Washington State. Shout out, Robin Davis.
The Apple Cup. I'm going to go with Jake Browning and Washington at home, but I think it's going to be a really competitive football game as well. I'm going to go 27-24, Washington at home.
Rob says that for everyone. This is going to be a real competitive game. Go ahead, JK.
Yeah. The real interesting
This
game, if Washington State wins, they are in the Pac-12 championship game against USC. If Washington State loses, it's Stanford and USC in this Pac-12 championship game.
Yeah, I'm going to go Washington by 18, 38-20. I'm going to take Jake Browning and – oh, I just lost his name. Boise State's old coach that coaches for Washington now.
Chris Peterson over Falk and
Mike Leach, yeah. Washington at home in Seattle by 18, for sure.
Wow. Man, some squads that I thought Oregon was falling off the map. It's been crazy, guys. All right, good call. All right, I was hoping that we got that in because we got about 10 minutes here because I know it's been a long night. Really quickly, can we talk about why is Baker Mayfield not starting for West Virginia, Rob? What's happening with that? Anything special in this?
Well, I don't know if I can describe it over the radio, but I'm sure you can look at the visual images on television. Was grabbing his nuts and showing off one of the other kids. I mean, I think the thing you got to realize here, I think from Baker Mayfield's standpoint here, we still have to remember he's a young man. He's got some maturing to do. He's got to grow up, and I think. The better disciplinary action for Oklahoma would have been to sit him the entire game, in my opinion.
Obviously
they're not. I mean, he's I think he's still a Heisman Trophy winner. He's been the best player in college football this season. He made a mistake. I think he'll grow from it. I think he'll learn from it. Some disciplinary action had to take place just to send a message to him. And obviously they did do something. So I definitely appreciate what Lincoln Riley did. I just would have liked to see in an entire game. But obviously, I think Oklahoma is playing as good as any team in the country right now. I really do. And I think they can be a real threat. I mean, obviously, they got to beat West Virginia and they still have to win the Big 12 championship game to hang around and stay in this playoff. But I think they're playing as good as anybody, especially on the offensive side of the ball. So, I mean, they could be real scary. You're talking about a kid that's was a walk-on, and now he's got a potential first-round draft pick this coming year. But I still think, you know, he's a kid. He's going to grow from it. Definitely discipline him. But, you know, just don't crucify him.
Kids at home,
yeah,
don't do those antics. Go ahead, JK.
Yeah, because you know I'm crazy. Listen, talking about the game, Will Greer had a gruesome dislocation of his finger for West Virginia. So even if he plays, how effective is he going to be? So I think that's part of the reason why they said they can, you know, sit him and then bring him at some point in the first quarter. So I get you on that. And everybody knows I do not like Baker Mayfield. That whole planting the flag in midfield, dead wrong under those circumstances. because that's to me singing your fight song
that,
in Oklahoma,
Ohio State. So I know you remember that.
I forgot doing that in retaliation for the Buckeyes singing their fight song in the corner of an end zone with their fans is way over the top. You know, that's way over the top by Baker. But if you go to the midfield and to shake hands with the captains, and they look in your face and they keep their hands behind their back as Kansas do that to you, and you go out there and show out, and you do that, you know what? I have zero problem with Baker Mayfield grabbing his nuts, like Rob said so eloquently, on the sideline and telling them to stick to basketball. I have zero problem with that. They've run that upon themselves within that game. You cannot go to midfield and not shake that man's hands. You can't.
That was cool.
You don't want to make that dude mad. You can't do that. So everything he did after that, that wasn't, you know, like trying to hurt somebody, but it was going to show him up the way they tried to show him up. I am 100% okay with that. You do you, Baker Mayfield. If they don't want to shake your hand,
didn't hurt nobody.
You light them up, and then you grab your nuts on them. It's time to go home. Listen.
He didn't hurt nobody.
He hurt some feelings.
This is Kansas football, not Kansas basketball, people.
Right.
Oh,
right.
Awesome.
And that's what he told him.
That was awesome.
He told him to stick to basketball while he was grabbing his nuts. I love it, Baker. I love it. I love it 100%, man.
Oh, man.
If you do that to me in midfield and I can play like that, like if I can play football like Baker Mayfield at quarterback and you do that to me in midfield, oh, I am doing everything I can do to embarrass you. You will never, ever, 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 ever in your life forget the game that you played me when you refused to shake my hand. I'm going to make you remember that to your dying day. On your deathbed, you're going to tell your grandkids, like, I didn't shake Baker Mayfield's hand, and he showed out on me, then he grabbed his balls. Like, I'm going to do the same thing to you. So I'm not mad at you.
Oh, man.
I'm not.
You can't make that up, man. You can't make that up, man.
I'm just saying. You can't. Listen.
Oh, man.
You,
I can't.
Do you, Baker?
I can't. Bro. That was hilarious. All right, gentlemen. Let's wrap this up. I'm going to let you guys pick your last topic, so and then we'll wrap it up, too. So pick the last topic you want to talk about. Let's wrap up.
Well, I
would
say let's talk
too.
About
so,
the who our top six are in college football, probably, if we're going to end the show. And
do whatever. Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Yeah. If we're going to, obviously the college football playoff rankings were released tonight. And, for the most part, I don't really have a lot of discrepancies with it. I think the only thing for me, obviously, I'll still have Alabama 1. I like the fact that it moved Miami up to 2. They are undefeated. Clemson has 1 loss. And to me, I still think Clemson has a bad loss and, losing to Syracuse. And I actually have Oklahoma ahead of Clemson, believe it or not. So I have 1 Alabama, 2 Miami. I would have liked to see Oklahoma at 3 and Clemson at 4. As opposed to Clemson at 3 and Oklahoma at 4. So I do like the fact that Miami jumped Clemson in the rankings. I mean, this Clemson team struggled with Florida State a few weeks ago. We know how much of a debacle that is right now.
Debacle.
With Florida State program. Yeah, and obviously Wisconsin and Auburn and Georgia is right where they should be. I would have Ohio State number 8 and Notre Dame number 9. I would flip-flop those two if we're going to go through the top 9, personally. But other than that, Clemson is, like I said, I would have them at 4 because of the bad loss to Syracuse.
I you know what, Rob? I 1,000% agree with that assessment. I on both counts, Ohio State over Notre Dame, and that's just, for me – Ohio State has bad losses. Don't get me wrong. They have 1 horrible loss. Oklahoma's not necessarily a bad loss. They lost to Iowa was a bad loss. But they got blown out Notre Dame also in Miami. And I just think that piece of it, a little harder. I would flip-flop those. And I agree. I think if you want to be honest, Alabama, too, gets a lot of, hereditary love, so to speak, of what they've done in the past in Alabama when they say that. And they've earned that. And they got that number 1. They're undefeated. So they've earned that. So I would give them that. But I agree. Clemson, that loss to Syracuse, the Syracuse team that's going to finish below 500 more than likely, is a horrible loss that they aren't being held accountable for, to me, like they hold other people accountable for. The same way they're going to hold Ohio State, and rightfully so, accountable for a horrible Iowa loss, they need to hold Clemson accountable for a horrible Syracuse loss. So I 100% agree with that. With all the rest of that, spot on.
Yeah. You're hitting the nose with Alabama. To me, Alabama's resume is not that strong this year, but I think that people are going off of the eye test with Alabama. But when you look at this season, the two teams that they beat that are ranked is 16-ranked Mississippi State. Alabama struggled with Mississippi State, albeit on the road, and 18-ranked LSU. Those are the only two ranked teams that Alabama have beaten this season. And if you really look at both of those games, Alabama wasn't impressive in either one of those two games. I mean, I know they beat LSU by two touchdowns, but that game really was a lot closer than the score indicated. When you look at LSU, moved the ball up and down on their defense, and they outgained Alabama in that game. I think a lot of people going off the eyeball test for some other games this season. But those are the only two ranked opponents that Alabama's beaten this season. So you're exactly right. And I still think they beat Auburn this weekend, but I definitely think it's going to be a real competitive game. I definitely don't see them going in there and having a cakewalk over Auburn.
No.
I look at, the two teams that are ranked that they played, they were not impressive to me.
Yeah, I agree.
Wow. There you go. That's how we end the show, because I'm really not sure if Billy's going to like cut me off. So go ahead and wrap us up, Rob. I'm really kind of scared. Go ahead, man.
All right. We certainly appreciate everyone for tuning in to our live portion and the listening to our OT portion. We gave you 90 minutes tonight, so we certainly appreciate you all sticking with us. Next week we'll be back on Wednesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Got a lot that's happening in the football world, so you don't want to miss the show on next Wednesday. Good night, people.
Absolutely. Y'all have a safe and happy Thanksgiving, and make sure you download it so you get all of these, 15 nut references that we put in the OT portion that we can only give to you when you download the podcast.
I only said it one time. JQ said it four times.
Well, yeah.
JQ was going ham. JQ just pretty much made the base of the show for us.
Oh, man. JQ was going
I'll
ham
own
like
that.
I was going ham with the titties.
I own that.
JQ just
making
Mayfield the
that.
Show on us.
Hey, listen, I was waiting on that topic, but I appreciate y'all for listening to the show and downloading it. And we'll talk to y'all next weekend. Always come here for all the good talk that we give you.
That's why I was
good night,
totally
happy
sick because I was waiting for JQ to talk. I didn't think you were going to have like that. But I was waiting for him to talk about that.
Like, shucks, I only said it once. JQ said it 14 times.
He said he's grabbing. And then JQ's like grabbing balls.
JQ said nothing and balls.
Nothing balls. Jesus.
Oh, man.
Oh, man. Oh, God. What?
These nuts.
This show is officially this show has officially been banned right there, but I think it'd be fun.
Man.
Like I said, so are we doing the show next Wednesday? What it sounds like, correct? We're doing the show next Wednesday. Is that what you said, Rob? Because I'm still thinking about JQ and his comment. All right, next Wednesday. Hey guys, seriously, have a really good Thanksgiving, guys. Be safe. Watch some football. Just sit back with the fam, a lot to give. We want to be thankful for too. So I'm thankful to have you guys in my life, man. It's been fun, and again, man, much love, much prayers for the family and all that stuff too, man. So be safe, and we'll talk to you guys next week, okay? Or we'll
absolutely,
be
man. Yeah, be safe.
We'll talk officially next week. We'll be texting back and forth too, so as we always do too. So it's gonna be a fun weekend, man. My first Saturday off, guys, in a long time. So I'm gonna actually get a chance to watch a lot of football, man. I'm always working, so. I'm really happy about that.
Enjoy.
So I don't know what to do with myself, man. So, yeah, it's going to be good, man.
Enjoy.
So, anyway, be good, guys.
What's up with LeVar Ball calling the Lakers coaches soft, JQ?
Man, this is what I was talking about. That foolishness you got to deal with when you draft Lonzo Ball. I called it many moons ago. It's not over. This is only the beginning.
Called the Lakers coaches
so
soft. They don't know how to coach my son. I just tell them to go out there and get the victory.
Yeah, that dude is nuts, bro. This is what I didn't want. This is what I didn't want. This is what I didn't want. I told you.
I told the quote. I'm gonna get that quote. Sorry, JQ. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm not gonna let Rob get me going. You good? Go for it. I'm not gonna let Rob get me going.
Just going to get the victory. We're gonna get that quote, man. We gotta get that quote for JQ.
I'm not making it up. He's really,
JQ,
you know he said it.
I know
he said it.
Funny.
I know he said it.
Some of these soft.
That dude. That dude is a rabble rouser. Y'all look up Robert Rouser on the Webster's Dictionary and see LeVar face like smiling. Robert Rouser. That's who he is.
You got hopefully that doesn't last for 82 games, bro. I mean, you got to think it's got to eventually, like, you know, kind of phase out, bro. Not, but
no,
that's who he is. Little Tourette's moments.
That's who he is. Right. No, that's who he is. Every time that he laces up for whatever team Lonzo Ball plays for, as long as LeVar Ball can breathe and talk, that's what's going to happen. And I told you that's what's going to happen. And that's why they want no parts of it. And now we are in the Ball circus.
We're not crying for you, though. Seriously. I understand.
That wasn't a topic of discussion, America. But, yeah, I'm seeing these Lakers highlights, and it just came back to me, so I just brought it up.
Rob is trying to get JQ, like, riled up, though. I'm going to agree with JQ.
He's
wrapping up.
He is. You know what he's doing?
That was a legitimate topic of discussion.
I'm being totally honest here. It's not me taking a shot at the Lakers. It's really just hilarious, the stuff he's saying.
It's not a shot, but you know. But if you know, if you say that with me on the call, you know it's going to trigger me. You know what you're doing. I'm not paying no mind with you. Damn, you know, dressings. And your baked oysters and your oyster dressing.
Rob is Baker Mayfield. JQ. So that's how you end it, man. So there you go.
Don't hate. Congratulate.
Oh, man.
You are a fool.
I can't. Oh, man. All right. Before the lady cuts the mail, guys.
I'm hanging up on y'all.
Oh, that's all. Every time. We always do it. We spend it all the time. We just call here. Who's looking for you? He's done all the time, man. That was like our joke, man, all the time, man. Oh, so many memories. All right. We got to go. All right, guys. Seriously. We'll talk to you guys soon, okay? Have a good one.
Absolutely. I'll let y'all later.
Good night,
people. All right, later. Good night.